Welcome to Health Freedom Radio, live and local. From the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN, 830 AM. Now, here are your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
Good morning. I'm Julie Boris, and this is Health Freedom Radio. Health Freedom Radio is a new show airing weekly on Tuesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. on WCRN Radio, Radio Central. And we'll be talking about all things health freedom uncensored. And I would like to thank today's show sponsor, Health Rights Mass. And just like my friends at Health Rights Mass, I believe all people have the fundamental, inalienable right to make their own health decisions for themselves and their families, free from coercive tactics. No one should ever be forced into a medical procedure against their will in order to live, work, or go to school in the great state of Massachusetts, or any other state for that matter. So my co-host, Lisa Mayer, could not be here again today as she's out of the state for a little post-election day R&R. Her race for a Republican state committee woman in Worcester's 1st District was so close. There was just a few votes difference, so there will be a recount, and so we'll keep you posted on that. Before we get underway, a quick disclaimer. I am not representing any organization. The views expressed on the show today are my own, and the views of my guests are their own. And also, I am not a medical doctor or an attorney, so I am not offering any medical or legal advice here today. So today's show is going to be a little bit of a tough one because we'll be hearing three firsthand stories from people who lost a young, healthy, vibrant person they loved very suddenly with no explanation from the medical establishment, no answers from autopsies, and no conversation about the one obvious thing they all had in common, the elephant in the room. They had all recently had an experimental, liability-free COVID-19 injection. And what boggles my mind is this. We can dig up a mummy that is 5,000 years old. We can use isotopic and histological analysis, radiocarbon dating, all sorts of imaging like CT scans and x-rays, and we can tell things like the age and the time period. We can get information about what they ate, geographical origins, migration patterns, environmental conditions. Scientists can identify evidence of congenital abnormalities, infectious diseases, metabolic disorders, and chronic illnesses. Yet, in 2024, they can't tell you how a young, healthy person died suddenly, but they can say for sure it wasn't the safe and effective jab. So, since the rollout of the COVID-19 shots, we have seen a massive increase in injury, disability, and death in a much younger age group than we have ever seen before. Before 2021, a young person dying from something other than an accident, an overdose, or suicide was in fact very rare. We see stories every day now of young people dying suddenly with just no explanation given. And here's another thing that kind of boggles my mind. I like to listen to true crime podcasts. It is morbid, I know. But they have law enforcement and detectives working to try to solve a murder case. Hundreds of man hours for years. And then if they don't solve it, it becomes a cold case and they still work on it for more years. They will drain a whole body of water or dig someone's grave up for clues or answers to who or how someone was killed 25 years ago. But when a pharmaceutical product injures and kills hundreds of thousands of people, everyone just says, shut up, don't talk about it. The scale and scope of concern for one life and saving other people's lives by catching a murderer, but if it's medicine, it's utter disregard. And of course, you're killing people while telling them you're saving them. It's like upside down. And I hear from people, I got the shot and I'm fine, right? Which is great. Of course, I want you to be fine. I don't want anyone to not be fine. But if you think there are not people being hurt and killed by these shots or that it's very rare, it's because the mainstream media censorship. It's not because it's not happening. They, the media, are not allowed to talk about it. It's completely taboo and it has been for years because, shocker, they get 75% of their ad money from pharmaceutical companies. And the thing about censorship, if you're not the one being censored, it's completely invisible to you. But the good news is there's a whole wide world of other independent media, but you just have to look for it. It won't just appear because it's censored and therefore invisible. So that's one of the things we would like to share on the show. Great places to learn more things. So before we go on to the heavy stuff, I want to highlight today's health freedom loving business with you. So I believe I have Jackie on the line. On Health Freedom Radio, we want to connect businesses who love freedom with patrons who also love freedom. I know when I'm deciding where to spend my money, especially since the lockdowns of 2020, I think about how that business owner or company treated people during that time. So we want to highlight local businesses that love freedom, that little thing that makes America so great. And whether it's your accountant or your insurance agent or a restaurant or your plumber or your electrician or your doctor or your dentist, who supports health freedom? Not only are you voting with your dollar, as they say, but you're helping to build a strong health freedom community and economy in Massachusetts. So on the line today, we have Jackie Fastian from Dumpster Divers. Jackie?
Hey, Julie.
Hey. Good morning.
How are you?
Good, good, good. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for coming on.
Of course. Thanks for letting me. And Julie and I met in the very beginning of the whole COVID debacle, and we became fast friends and fierce advocates for medical freedom. And you're doing a fantastic job, and I'm so proud of you, and congratulations on the radio show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Jackie and I have stood on overpasses. We've marched through the streets of the city. We've been outside the State House. We've been inside the State House many times to testify together. We always drive in together to the city. She's my partner in crime, Jackie Fastian. But Jackie has a freedom-loving business that she'd love to share with us. It's called Dumpster Divers. So Jackie, why don't you just tell us about Dumpster Divers?
Sure. So we are a family-owned business, a dumpster rental company right in Shrewsbury, and we service homeowners and contractors throughout all of central Massachusetts. We started the business in 2010, and we built it from the ground up. And I am happy to say that we've earned a 5-star review on or a rating on Google with almost 250 reviews. Right now, we are still offering a $25 winter special discount on any online reservation through the end of March. So you just have to go to thedumpsterdivers.com and click on the Rent a Dumpster tab. And just put in the winter special code upon checkout, and you'll get $25 off. If you prefer to call, just mention Health Freedom Radio, and we'd be happy to extend the offer over the phone for you as one of Julie's listeners. Just call 508-925-5245. That's 508-925-5245. And also, we did open a recycling center in Shrewsbury at 3A Industrial Drive, where you can come in from any town and drop off hard-to-dispose-of items for a small fee. You can find rates, hours, and locations at thedumpsterdivers.com, and then just go to the recycling center page, and all the info is right there.
Wow, that was everything. I was going to ask you a bunch of questions, but you answered them all.
I tried to get it all in there.
So what's the phone number that you can call again? And you get to probably talk to Jackie, so, you know, she's a health freedom-loving person as much as you.
Yeah, we're a small family-owned business, so if you call in, you're going to either get me or my husband, Mike, and the number is 508-925-5245.
Thank you so much, Jackie, for calling in. So if you know a health freedom-loving business that you think we should highlight, email us at hello@healthfreedomradio.org. And if you want to keep us talking about health freedom uncensored on the airwaves, where we can reach outside the censorship bubble, we're going to need sponsors, and we have some great ways to get the word out about your business to the Massachusetts freedom-loving community. Just email hello@healthfreedomradio.org and ask about our sponsorship opportunities. Other ways to support the show, you can be a walking billboard, get and wear our merch. Again, on the website, healthfreedomradio.org, we have 100% cotton T-shirts and sweatshirts with the logo, and on the back, they say, join the Health Freedom Conversation Uncensored. Or you can get a water bottle, coffee cup, baseball cap, stuff like that. Wear it out and about. It not only helps get the word out about the show, it will help you find like-minded people. When someone in the grocery store says, I like your sweatshirt, you know that person, like you, cares deeply about health freedom. If you are not a business and just a regular person that wants to support the show, go to the show website, healthfreedomradio.org, scroll down on the homepage and hit the give button. You can make a one-time or recurring donation to the show. And I just want to take a second to thank Anne-Marie, Louise, and Lynn for donating to the show. We appreciate you. So after the break, we'll be back with more Health Freedom Talk Uncensored. We'll be talking to Kim Budson. Kim lost her 21-year-old daughter, Lexi, who was a nursing student, and shortly after she received both the COVID and the flu shots in order to continue her education. And then later in the show, we'll be hearing from Trevor Dillman, who's in the studio with me here today. Hey, Trevor. He lost his wife of only 3 months. And then we'll hear from Alan Martin, who lost his 18-year-old daughter, Trista. And what all three of these young, healthy people had in common is they all died shortly after the COVID-19 vaccine. So you're going to stay with us after the break, okay, for more live and local radio from the center of New England, the center of the dial, the center of information from Radio Central. And you can also listen on the TuneIn app.
Headline news, weather, and local information central to your day on Radio Central 830 WCRN.
Are you a beauty or wellness professional looking to take your career to the next level? Has your career plateaued and you're looking to kickstart your ability to improve your professional and financial situation? Have your skills and clientele grown faster than your earnings? And would you love to work in a drama-free collaborative environment that impresses your clients and is uniquely you? Hi, my name's Ed, and my wife Amy and I own the My Salon Suite locations in Leominster and Westboro. If you're a beauty and wellness professional, or you know someone who is, who has a passion for helping people look and feel their best, and you're looking to level up your career to achieve new heights of professionalism and profitability, we'd love to talk to you. We're building communities of thriving entrepreneurs who know the value of offering clients an amazing experience in an upscale, safe, state-of-the-art environment. Give us a call today at 508-500-9000 or visit mysalonsuite.com/Leominster or /Westboro to set up a confidential tour. Mention Health Freedom Radio and get your first rental week free.
Now, Health Freedom Radio continues, live and local, from the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN, 830 AM. Once again, here's your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
You're listening to Health Freedom Radio on WCRN Radio Central, 830 on the AM dial or at WCRNradio.com. So I want to start by thanking our show sponsor today, Health Rights MA. The mission of Health Rights MA is to ensure that the fundamental right to bodily autonomy, including the right to exercise informed consent and the right to privacy of your personal medical information, is legally protected in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in regards to all medical and health care treatments and procedures. So go to healthrightsma.org and join the thousands of Massachusetts residents who are stepping up to protect their health rights. And if you're a listener from Massachusetts and you have a story to share about injury or loss from the COVID-19 vaccine, or if you lost your job or access to education, or were just treated unfairly because you chose not to get the shot, please share your story. Again, you go to healthrightsma.org, and right at the top menu, you'll see a tab for sharing your story. And one person did that, our next guest. Her name is Kimberly Budson, and she submitted her story. I'm not sure how she heard about it, but she's from out of state. And she said, you know what? I'm not from Massachusetts, but you should know my story. So when we were doing this show, I decided to reach out to Kimberly and asked her to come on and share about what happened to her beautiful daughter, Lexi Taylor Budson, who is 21. So thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure it's not easy to talk about.
Thank you, Julie, so much for having me and sharing her story.
Yeah, so just tell us a little bit about your daughter, you know, who she was, what happened to her that led up to her passing at such a young age.
Sure. Alexis was in her final semester of nursing. 2 weeks before she was to graduate, she tragically lost her life. She was kind, considerate, compassionate. She had a love of life, lots of smiles and laughter that she's known for, full of energy, discipline. She was just a great, great girl. So during that last semester, you know, she had gone through 2 semesters of COVID. So she did online classes, online tests, flew back and forth. She was in school in Alabama. And so she was required, coerced into getting the COVID shot, and
she had her reservations. She didn't really want them.
Yes, she had her reservations. Her 2 top concerns were reproductivity and long-term effects.
Smart.
She stated flat out that she would rather rely on more reliable data. She wasn't comfortable getting the shot. But however, in order to complete her precursor, her clinicals, the hospitals were requiring vaccination. They said they would work around that, but she would have to drive 1 to 2 hours away in a hospital. And as a nursing student, that's just not possible. So she received the two COVID vaccines 30 days apart, and then she received a quad Flusovac shot.
Was that also an mRNA shot, or was that?
That was not mRNA at the time that we know of.
Okay.
So after the flu shot, another 30 days, she was coming home for Thanksgiving. She fell ill before she left to come home. On her way to the airport, she called me and said that she thought she had a bladder infection. And I told her, just get home. We'll get you in. And then she called me from the airport and said, I drank too much cranberry juice on an empty stomach. I have the opposite effect. So her trip home was very tough.
Yeah. So we talked on the phone. When you told me her story, we talked for like an hour. It was really long. I mean, she really went through a lot between the time that she got the shots and then.
Yes. And so her symptoms started before she or we were even aware of what was going on. After the first COVID shot, her menstrual cycle was altered.
Oh, you hear that
it was
a
extremely
lot.
Heavy.
Yeah.
Yep, it was extremely heavy, and it had come after 10 days. So we kind of joked about that and said, well, maybe you're reacclimating to the women down there. And
which was her great concern. Which was her great concern. She was concerned about reproductive issues, and look, you know, that's exactly what happened. So
yes, and so then I don't know if it was in between the first and second shot or after the second shot. She called home, and she said, I just came home from a run, and my chest hurts really bad. And at that time, I said, Lex, we don't know what's going on here. Maybe back off the, you know, intensive workout and, you know, walk instead of run. So her chest hurt really bad. That was number two, that we just were not aware of what was going on with her.
This was early on,
right? This was very early on before we even really realized or could even match up symptoms or anything. She actually was 24. She died in 2021.
Oh, okay.
But she's very aware of things to watch for. So she came home for Thanksgiving. We got her into the doctor. They treated her for a bladder infection, a sinus infection. And then they put her on antibiotics, and she wasn't getting any better. A night later, her boyfriend pretty much escorted her in, and she had the worst severe headache of her life. And she said she almost called me from her bedroom to take her to the emergency room. Anybody that knows me and my daughter, we only go to the emergency room if we're dying.
Right.
So that resolved. She was able to manage that with, you know, Tylenol, Advil. She would alternate between the two. And Wednesday and Thursday, so Thursday was Thanksgiving, she managed through all of that.
It just sounds like her body was under constant attack from the...
Yes. Her body was under attack.
It's so just awful.
That next Friday, she started tugging on her neck, and I said, meningitis. And she said, no, I can do these maneuvers, these procedures. I don't think it's meningitis. And as we were working on her graduation invites and her party invite, I noticed her face was really flushed. And I said, we need to take your temperature. So we took her temperature. It was 100.2, nothing alarming. And I told her to clear her schedule for the next day. We needed to have her seen again.
Yeah.
And so we went to emergency care the next morning. The doctor thought that it was fifth disease because Lexi had developed this rash on her arms that looked like a reticulous pattern. And it wasn't raised or anything. It was very flat.
Yeah, her body was just under attack. It was the poisons coming out in the skin. I mean, yeah, it's crazy.
Yes.
So tell me what happened on the I don't want you to run out of time.
After we had her into emergency care that evening, she became very itchy. I gave her Benadryl, and at 10 p.m. I called her primary care physician, and I said, I can't get her comfortable. Something's wrong. We went to, you know, emergency care. This is what they said. And he knew Lexi well. And he's like, I don't necessarily agree with the prognosis. I want her seen first thing in the morning. So at 3 a.m., she had started vomiting. At 7 a.m., she was getting sick again. And my husband came to get me. And when I went down to assess her, I'm like, we're not going to the doctor. We're going to the emergency room. She needs steroid shot and fluid. And, oh, Lord, what happened from that point, I is just in disbelief.
So that was the day she passed away?
Pretty much, yes.
And what was her cause of death?
The coroner put in complications of chiari.
Chiari
is the brain that it comes down the spinal cord a little bit. But all of the all of her symptoms prior to everything, she went into Takotsubo, which is her heart jumped up to 208.
Yeah,
a scene out of the movies where the alarms are going off in her bedroom and at the nurse's station, and they're running down with the crash cart.
Oh my God!
They said she never lost consciousness, or she never lost heartbeat. But at that point, I knew it was really, really serious.
And
this is after she had suffered a seizure. She went back for multiple CAT scans and MRIs on her brain.
Yeah,
the original one was normal.
So tell me this. So they told you it was this. I'm sorry. What did they put on the death certificate? The cause of death?
Complications of chiari. So
did you ask them, you know, do you think the vaccine could have had anything to do with this? And what kind of response did you
get? Yes, I did, because my first thoughts watching her, what her body was going through, kind of going over the semester, I started questioning the shot.
Yeah. What did they say to you?
They didn't go down that path. No, they did not say anything about vaccines. In fact, it's notated unknown on her chart, but I know that I brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from that point, I had my own questions.
And I
started the research.
Yeah, you told me you filled out a VAERS report. So that's a vaccine adverse events reporting system for people that don't know what that is, right? And that you filled it out, but so we only have one more minute, that they changed it, right?
Yes, I filled out her VAERS report 6th of 2022 after I had read a Facebook post that a 9-year-old had suffered a CVST stroke. And so I called in and I did it over the phone with VAERS. A year later, I went into the report and the COVID vaccines had seemed to be taken off of the initial very top of the report. Her legal doctor team has listed that they believed that it was all three shots that caused her demise.
And then they took those, you told me they took
those. Yes, those were placed in a different area, and I asked them, how would you cross-reference the vaccines if they're not there for people to review?
Okay, just hold on with me, Kim. Stay tuned with us for more live and local radio from the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information.
You're listening to Health Freedom Radio, live and local, on the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN 830 AM. Once again, here are your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
You're listening to Health Freedom Radio on WCRN Radio Central, 830 on the AM dial or at WCRNradio.com. And I just wanted to say thank you to our guest. We do have another guest in the studio, but thank you so much, Kim, for calling in. One thing I was thinking of this morning is this is such a hard topic, and I want to say to all of you, I'm sorry for your loss, but it doesn't seem like it's enough because I'm angry for your loss. So, Kim, I wanted to tell you that. Thank you for calling in. I hope that maybe we'll get to talk again later. I want to say I'm angry.
I think I'll just add that I'm deeply alarmed by the growing number of individuals experiencing adverse effects and neurological complications following vaccination. It is disheartening that doctors and scientists who raise concerns about the severe threat posed by vaccines are often met with hostility and threats. It is crucial that accurate and comprehensive information regarding vaccine risks and adverse effects be made available to the public and medical community to prevent further loss and suffering.
Okay, thank you so much, Kim. Thank you. We'll talk later. All right. I'll give you a call. Okay, so let's see. Here we go. So I got a call this morning from a friend, and I know that we've been following the baby Nate story, and I wanted to give you an update. So what happened was baby Nate we followed that story. Nathaniel is the dad. Baby Nate was his son. He was taken by DCF, and they were going to give him a COVID shot. So what has happened now, as an update, DCF was presented with extensive evidence, which they most likely had not seen before, that the risks of the shot, particularly with infants, far outweighs the supposed benefits. They heard the father's concerns, and they confirmed that baby Nate has not receive the shot, nor is he scheduled to get it. This is a David versus DCF story, and although this young father, who is only 29, has had some issues in the past that has been behind him for years, and he is now fighting for his fundamental right to father his only child. The baby was removed from the mother's care due to a long history of complex issues that he did not know about until after baby Nate was born. His number one focus now is to get his child out of foster care and back with his family ASAP, and the fight to bring Nate home is headed to trial. The esteemed attorney, Philip Moran, who represented the parents of Justina Pelletier in the landmark medical kidnap case 10 years ago, has taken the case to reunite this young father with his son. If you want to help with legal fees, you can go directly to the fees go directly to Attorney Moran. You go to Give, Send, Go. I believe it's Baby Nate Belongs with Dad, but I think if you just search Baby Nate, you will find it. So, from Health Freedom Radio, we wish Nathaniel and Baby Nate the very best. And to all the people who called and phoned and emailed and stood out in protest of Baby Nate getting a COVID-19 injection, together, you were loud enough to be heard. So, we want to thank you. Nathaniel, I know many people out there, including me, are praying for you. So, that's just my message to you. So, here in the studio, I have Trevor Dillman. Trevor's a busy guy. He's a part-time high school teacher. He manages public access station. He's a graduate student studying clinical mental health counseling and a volunteer with four different nonprofits. He is a busy guy, but he's here today to share his story about the loss of his young wife, Elizabeth, or Liz, you called her, yeah?
Yep, Liz.
Yeah, Dillman. And he was at an event that we will get to just briefly in a minute. But first, I just want to say thank you for coming in today, Trevor.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So I met Trevor at a party. That's how I first learned about his story. So why don't you tell us about Liz and, you know, what happened?
Sure, I can do that. So just briefly, I mean, she died in April of 2021 of a pulmonary embolism. It was very sudden. We really only had pretty much a day of, if you can call it, warning. It really wasn't any red flags outside of the ordinary.
She just didn't feel well that day.
Correct, yeah. And there could have been other causes for it, and it could have been just that. It could have just been as sudden as
possible.
People
don't feel good sometimes. It happens to all of us. We get sick.
Right. She, to my knowledge, was asked by her job. She was working at Reliant Medical in Southborough at the time to get the vaccine. However, regardless, she went out and got it on her own. She was, you know, of her own volition. She wanted to do her part, and she was very much into all that.
And she was told it was safe and effective.
Yes, she was.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So she eagerly went out and got it.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, within maybe a month and a half, really a matter of weeks, of getting the vaccine, she was dead. And like I said, it was very little warning. Really just the night before, she was a bit sluggish. And the two of us had been doing keto together. When she began, she was feeling a little sluggish at the beginning before adjusting her diet, as is common. She had gone off keto just before.
So no reason to think it was anything I just don't feel good. It's probably what I'm eating.
Exactly.
And, you know, oh, I exercise too much or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No real red flags. I do remember her saying to me, and, you know, it's something that's going to sit with me for the rest of my life, that she said that she felt like something was wrong, like something was off.
Oh, sense of doom.
And yeah. Of course it was, yeah, sense of doom. Yeah, so in the middle of the night, around 3 in the morning or so, I was awoken by a noise. I went out of our bedroom. I thought she was choking. It was what it turned out to be later was the death rattle, which I had heard before. But, you know, in that moment, I had no connection. You know, why would I think that my, at that time, 30-year-old wife was, you know,
dying.
Doing the death rattle, dying.
Next to you.
So, yeah, she was hunched over at her computer desk. She had gotten up. Obviously, she was uncomfortable. Something was off. Yeah, she was hunched over. I was able to wake her up. She went out a second time while I was waiting for the ambulance. Once the paramedics arrived, she went out a third time, and that was basically it. She was holding my hand. I was looking her in the eye when she went, and I actually didn't know at that time that that would be it. They quickly threw her in an ambulance, took her to the hospital. You know, I remember thinking that you know, this is scary and I won't be able to tell it to her as vividly as I'm seeing it because it'll scare her too much, not knowing at that time that she was already gone. So I went to the hospital, followed the ambulance. After a little bit, the doctor came into, took me into a side room, and she basically just laid it out simply that they had been trying to restart her heart for quite a while, but unsuccessfully. And she said basically at this point, you know, even if they did restart her heart, there wouldn't be much of her left. And, you know, it's like, what do you even say to that? Basically, like, felt like I melted into my shoes. That was it. There's nothing more to say about it. So I had to tell them to, you know, stop the attempting to revive her, and that was it.
Did they give you any reason?
So beyond a pulmonary embolism, no. And that was, again, deemed the cause of death. Of course, myself and her father asked if the vaccine could have contributed. The doctor said at that time there was no information to that effect.
You will never find what you are not looking for.
Exactly. That's exactly my concern, and that's partly why I'm here and kind of on this journey right now, because I'm wanting answers. The doctor said, quote, that it was a one in a trillion chance that this would happen to her. She really wasn't at high risk in terms of any of the risk categories. It was a bizarre thing that, again, occurred, that the only thing out of the ordinary was the vaccine within really a number of weeks.
I'll just mention this weekend we had John Bowden, he wrote a book called The Real CDC and the CDC Memorandum, and he gave a presentation in Shrewsbury, and there was about 100 people there. The room was packed, standing room, and people were standing in the back.
Big audience.
Yeah, and it was lessons learned from COVID, and Trevor, you were in the room, mm-hmm. And the whole time I was thinking, as I'm watching these slides and I hear pulmonary, you know, I'm like, what is Trevor thinking? Just so you know, that was recorded, and it is not yet up, but it will be posted on the healthrightsma.org website, and hopefully it's going to play on some local cable television.
Yep.
So what did you think of that, and like, how did you come to understand that it really probably, this was the shot? I mean, it's really hard to say it wasn't at this point.
Exactly.
With everything we know.
I mean, just process of elimination, what else could it be? Is really my thinking. And I mean, the information that John was highlighting there is fascinating, and it certainly provides an incentive for why this could have happened.
Do you remember the percentage, the increased percent of pulmonary embolisms that they had said?
I don't remember the exact figures, but it was high.
It was
shockingly high bar.
Yeah. And it started right when 2021, 2022, 2023, up, and in younger and younger people.
Yep. And exactly where Liz was. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there was never a VAERS report filled out, I'm guessing.
No.
So not reported. You know what I mean?
As far as I know.
Yep. No, if you didn't do it and the doctor didn't do it and the nurse didn't, who's going to do it?
Right.
And now, actually, it is too late for you to do it, I believe. If it's not done within, I believe, for COVID a year, you're out of luck. So what would you, if you had something that you wanted to say to anybody else that's in your shoes about, you know, deciding to speak out, what would you say?
Yeah, I would say get as active as possible. I really think the problem right now is not enough people speaking up, talking about it. I'll say one thing that just her passing in general, I mean, it was a hard left turn in my life, obviously. It kind of lit a fire under me. And, you know, talking about all the stuff I'm doing, including all the nonprofits that I'm working for, I'm really trying to do my best to make a difference and reach out to people and be a role model in terms of getting the word out, helping people.
What's your favorite nonprofit? You only have four nonprofits. Tell me one.
Up with Books. We help with illiteracy and donating books to lower socioeconomic school systems.
Okay, Trevor, thank you so much for sharing your story. That was really powerful. We're going to be back after the break with Alan Martin. He's the dad of 18-year-old Trista Martin. So stay with us for more live and local radio from the center of the dial, the center of New England, the center of information, Radio Central.
Now, Health Freedom Radio continues, live and local, from the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN 830 AM.
I can hear it.
Once again, here's your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
You're listening to Health Freedom Radio on WCRN Radio Central, 830 on the AM dial or at WCRNradio.com. We now have Alan Martin on the line. I have been following Alan's story for a long time because he has been very vocal about what happened to his daughter, Trista. She's such a beautiful girl. First of all, I want to say, if you go to healthfreedomradio.org, right on the homepage, you can see a picture of Lexi and Elizabeth and Trista, and they're all just beautiful, young, vibrant women. Alan, thanks for coming on, and if you could just tell us what happened to you and your family and your daughter.
Well, thanks for having me, Julie. And Trista was Trista had just turned 18, and she approached me and her mother and asked if she could go to a different doctor, because our doctor was a close family friend, had been for many years, didn't feel comfortable talking about girl stuff with the doctor. And so we said, sure, you know, as long as they're on the plan, we don't care. So she wanted to go to the doctor and just get a checkup. She said she was super excited. She had just graduated high school, and she was getting ready to start college. She wanted to travel. We had discussed the COVID-19 shots previously over the years with our entire family. None of our family has any comorbidities or pre-existing conditions, so we're all relatively healthy. So we just collectively decided as a family that the shots, without the long-term information, the speed at which they were manufactured.
Right, better safe than sorry.
Yeah, we just thought it's, you know, probably not for us, because it looks like this COVID thing is just affecting, you know, the elderly mostly more than anybody else. So that was the discussion that we had. But she went for a checkup at this new doctor, and at that checkup, she elected to get the Pfizer COVID vaccine. But she didn't tell us. She didn't want to, from what we can surmise, she didn't want to disappoint her parents. She didn't want to let us down, but she had discussed that she was worried about them requiring it for college whatever college she decided to go to. She was, wanting to travel. She was worried that she was going to have to get it for traveling. And she had recently gone to a concert in Texas, and she didn't have a vax card. So they made her wear a mask. If you had your card, you didn't have to wear a mask. And so they kind of, you know, they singled people out.
All forms of coercion, coercive tactics.
Yeah, right. So we believe that's why she elected to go ahead and get it. But honestly, we'll never really know. But we didn't know at the time. We didn't know until she was in the hospital dying. But throughout the late summer and early fall, looking back, hindsight being what it is, she did have some symptoms. She had sleeping a lot, complaining of dizziness when she was standing. She complained of nausea after eating and she was getting losing a little bit of weight. I thought that it was just, you know, her working too hard.
Well, how would you know that if you didn't even know that she had the shot, how would you even know to be looking for a problem? So,
not only that, but she got the shot as part of a checkup. So, and after the checkup, it was like 3 or 4 days when they get back with after the blood work. She told me, you know, she told both of us. She came, she's like, hey, all my blood work came back great. I'm perfectly healthy. She had a low vitamin D, and they had given her a prescription for like a prenatal vitamin. And she made a joke about it. She said, Dad, this is because I got a low vitamin D. I am not pregnant, I promise, you know, and it was a big joke.
They call them wellness visits, right?
Right. Right. And so, yeah, very ironic. But so it was November 9th, the night previous. She had stayed the night with her sister and a friend at her sister's apartment, her sister's stepsister. They stayed up taking selfies, playing board games, you know, that kind of stuff. And she woke up that morning on the 9th, told her sister that she was having difficulty breathing, that she was hurt all over, that she was going to lay back down to see if she could feel better. And a few minutes after that, her sister went in to check on her and couldn't get her to wake up. They called my wife, who was just down the street, and she rushed over and started CPR. Trista was not breathing. She couldn't find a pulse, so she called 911. They walked her through the CPR process, and she tried repeatedly to call me, but I was getting ready for work. I was in the shower, and I finally got out. And she said, it's Trista. When I finally picked up, she said, Alan, it's Trista. It's serious. They're putting her in the ambulance. Get to St. Francis Hospital right now. So I get there, and they, as fast as I can, when I get there, it's a large, large hospital complex. And this is when I think I knew how serious it was, is because they didn't make me sign in. They didn't make me put on a mask. This woman standing there in scrubs, she pointed at me and she said, are you Dad? And I said, shocked, you know, I'm like, yeah, they call me, I'm Dad, that's what they call me. And she said, follow me. She brings me back through a couple of sets of double doors, and there's my daughter. And she was gray, and she was lifeless, and she had 50 people around her, and tubes, and nobody knew what was going on. Nobody knew. The doctor comes to us, and he says, in situations like this, I'm sorry, but we give her about a 1% chance. And I said, in situations like what? What is this? Sorry, sir, we don't know. We're putting in fluids and nothing's coming out. All of her organs are shutting down. So they were trying to get her stable so that they could move her up to ICU because they said that her blood at this point was toxic to her and that they had to start dialysis. But they couldn't do it in her current condition because it would kill her. So as they were moving her up to the fourth floor, one of her best friends comes to us and says, hey, I think I should tell you guys. Krista got the COVID shot, but she told us not to tell you.
And that was
me and my wife just kind of looked at each other and we thought, well, that's unfortunate. Surely that's not what this is. It can't be, right? I mean,
unfortunately.
Millions of people have had this shot, and this is not something else. This has got to be something else. And that's pretty much how we felt.
And that's the crime here, is that since other people couldn't share their stories, it was all censored, you didn't know, you know, and Trista didn't know. What if Trista had known? What if Trista had heard Trevor's story or someone else's story?
Right,
or,
exactly.
Yeah, so it's really unfortunate. I'm so glad that you're speaking out. I know that must be really hard. I know a lot of children have died. I know of several children in Massachusetts that have died as a result of the shot, but I don't know of any of their parents that are speaking out. So what would you say to parents in the final, like if you have one last thing that you want to tell the world, if we can have a minute for your lawsuit too, if you want to tell us about your lawsuit, if we can get that both in there, that would be great.
When your child dies, your responsibility to fight for them does not die with them. If you are in my situation and you are being gaslit and you're scared to speak out, and you've got a field of doctors that are telling you you're crazy. You are not crazy. You are not wrong. You need to surround yourself with the doctors who are speaking out, with the families who are speaking out. Give yourself a support structure and do what you have to do to save lives. I don't want anybody else to go through the pain that I suffer every single day. And if my daughter knew that I wasn't fighting, she would never forgive me.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Alan. You know what? I will. I'll make a point to talk about your lawsuit on a future episode of the show because we are running out of time.
I got you. Yeah.
And I know that you're also, we have 1 minute, and I know that you're also you're connected with a lot of other parents who have also lost children really young and think there's an organization called React 19 that's out there to help people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Is there any website we should send people to learn more about Trista or your story?
Yeah. JusticeForTrista.com. There is the news on there about the lawsuit, about React 19, and about a lot of other things if they want to stay updated.
Okay, so thank you so much, Alan and Trevor, and to Kim, and thanks to Health Rights Mass and My Salon Suite, our show sponsors, and thanks to WCRN Radio, so we can have these conversations uncensored. And up next is The Credit Show with Harry Jacobs. So be sure to tune in next week and every week for Health Freedom Radio Talk Uncensored at WCRN Radio, 8:30 a.m., Radio Central.